Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. This Melchizedek character comes from Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham, as it is written here in Hebrews, was returning from the slaughter of the kings. It says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. That's Genesis 14, verse 18. And he blessed Abraham and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And blessed be. And he gave him tithes of all. And that's it. Now there are other references in the Old Testament to Melchizedek, and we will definitely get into those a little bit, because it's of some importance. Melchizedek, according to Paul in this chapter, from the way it seems he's writing it, the way I get it, is that Christ is Melchizedek. That Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God before, you know, his nativity. And that is, would be sensible because, you know, as it had said earlier in this, that he is the image of the invisible God. Actually, that's in another place, but he is the brightness of his glory, the image of his person. God is invisible, the Father, but the Son is visible. The Word of God, which is the Son of God, can be seen. And so that whenever God would appear in the Old Testament in a human form, and people would say, I have seen God and I have not died, it would of necessity be the Son of God, because he is the image of the invisible God. He is the express image of his person. Most of the errors concerning the nature of God fall into... I see two camps, basically. On the one hand, you have those who say the Father and the Son are one and the same. Like, that literally, you know, God so loved the world that he gave himself. He didn't send his Son to make a sacrifice. No, he himself came, God the Father, in the person, in impersonating the Son, so to speak. And that really, and they don't say this, but then therefore, all the talk that Jesus made of speaking to the Father and my Father this and my Father that, it was all a charade. Because he was the Father. And as Christ himself said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But again, it's like I said, that he is the image of the Father, therefore there is nothing more of God to see. If you want to see the Father, all you're able to see is Christ. That's it. Because God is invisible. No man hath seen God at any time. Then there's the other camp of error, which says, okay, you're right. The Son of God is definitely distinct from the Father. In fact, it's so distinct that the Son of God is a created entity and is God the way we will become the sons of God, meaning by appointment only. And basically, he's basically an exalted angel or something of that nature. I don't know exactly how you want to put it, but that he is that and somehow less than God. And that is also an error. And this is a good example of why. Well, and let me support that a little more so you can kind of understand why people think that way. There's scriptures that say he is the beginning of the creation of God, the firstborn of every creature. It sounds like he has a beginning. In fact, I think when they were arguing about the Trinity back in the day, there was a group of people who believed that, you know, there was a time when the sun was not. That the sun had a genesis point, a beginning. But that would be to say that God, for an eternity, had been silent. Never said a word. And then at some point, he began to speak. It would be to say there was a point at which there was no word of God. God all of a sudden, one day, I can talk! I can talk! Because Jesus is God's word. He's the firstborn of everything that came from God. Is the Son. You know what I mean? He is the first thing out of God. There was nothing else that God had done than the Son. And by the Son, he made all things, the worlds. And according to this, the Son is without father, without mother. And this is, you know, bear with me. Without descent, no progeny. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. When it says without father, it's sort of like when he says, call no man your father on the earth. He doesn't mean, when Jesus says that, he doesn't mean, well, don't call your father your father. What it means is don't call someone else, such as a priest, father. Or some man who's your teacher, don't call him father. Call only people who are due that title, father. And Melchizedek had no father on the earth. That's the point. He had no mother on the earth. He was a completely unbegotten, unborn entity. You know, he was not a normal man. You know, and that's the thing about this character Melchizedek in the Old Testament. He had not been born. But he was made like unto the Son of God. So, what does that say about the Son of God? The Son of God does not have a beginning of days. He does not have an end of life. That is Christ. He does not have a beginning. There was no in the beginning for Jesus, as far as where he became, where he was not. So it is wrong to say that the Son of God is merely a creation of God.